Our scripture is from 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 6:2. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God always invites us to be made new, as we were intended to be.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. It's about a 6 to 7. Happy Sabbath. I believed you. Excellent. It's wonderful to be here with you again. And actually, I'm doubly excited because this is my first Sabbath where we actually live in Sutherland. Amen. So although we're living amongst a forest of boxes, we are here. So we are certainly happy for that. It's great to be here. And it's wonderful to see you all today. Before we get started, though, let's bow our heads and ask the Spirit's presence. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a joy it is to come to your house to worship you on your Sabbath day. How much we need to gather together and to encourage one another and to open our hearts and our minds to your word and to your Spirit. And Father, I just ask that the words and thoughts spoken today will be guided by your Spirit and will bring joy to your heart and encouragement to ours. And so bless us with your presence in thy holy name. Amen. We all mess up, right? We say things later that we wish we could take back, or we do things we wish we could undo. We miss opportunities. And this happens in all parts of our life, doesn't it? We make mistakes at work, or we hurt people we love. Sometimes we disappoint God. And because we all mess up, we like to start over, right? Yes, we like to start over. It's a good thing to start over. It's exciting to start over because you end up with new challenges, new experiences, new opportunities. And I love starting over. In fact, this move has even brought that to mind. In spite of the work, it's a new beginning for us and of new friends and new relationships. And I think also that we enjoy, or at least I hope we enjoy, rededicating our lives to God fresh every day. So yes, we like to start over, and I wonder, well, why is it that that seems to be a good draw for us? I would like to propose that it's because the future holds hope for something better. But as I consider lives, my own included, things don't always stay full of hope. After too many disappointments, we're often tempted to give up and lose all hope, and a person can start over many times before you begin to wonder, what's the point? What makes me think I'm not going to mess it up again? And of course, people are different. People vary. The number of disappointments necessary before someone kind of gives up hope differs from person to person. But if you have not experienced that in your life, I'm quite sure you know someone that has hit that wall. The Bible tells a story of a lady who reached this point, who had lost all hope. This morning I'd like to take you back and just in your mind kind of imagine as we go back to a really hot day in Galilee. We find a lady in her house, most likely mud brick. Sighing deeply, she picks up an earthen jar and she struggles and lifts it up and places it on her shoulder. And with her free hand, she reaches out and she opens the door and poof, Suddenly the heat just blasts into her and hits her. For a few seconds, she can't even see for the blindness of the bright white light outside. Then her eyes begin to adapt, and she bends over slightly, and she walks through the low door. And outside, she pauses a moment and looks left and right, and it's quiet out, but not dead quiet, for there's cicadas buzzing in the trees all around. The blistering heat, there's no one in sight. She's all alone, and she's kind of glad for that because, well, she doesn't want to run into anyone, especially the other ladies in the town. With another sigh, she begins a walk to the outskirts of town. This woman is on her way to fetch water. And it's not a good time of day to fetch water. In fact, it's not a good time of day to be outside. The sun reached its zenith at this hour and seems to hang in the air, beating down mercilessly on her. She could have chosen a cooler time of day to go. Most did. But then she would have to face the other people in town. For you see, this woman is the town's local bad girl. She's not married to the man she's currently living with. She's already had 5 other husbands. 5 times in her life, she's tried to start over. 5 times, she's tried to build a new life. And now she's given up on marriage. She's given up on happiness. She feels like she's lost hope. She didn't see any way to turn back. No new start. No new beginning. She's discouraged. And she's accepted her lot as an outcast. She's learned to live without hope. It's tragic to admit, but this woman is not alone in reaching this point of hopelessness. It's rampant in our world today. And after too many disappointments, it can happen to anyone. And after a while, you begin to feel there just isn't a new way out. However, praise God, the Bible does not agree with this feeling. In stark contrast, the Bible speaks of a completely new beginning. If you turn again to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. How many things? All things become new. This new creation here, this phrase, the Greek word here, if I said it right, is ketesis. If anyone has dedicated himself or herself to Christ, that person is a new ketesis. The two major meanings of ketesis are, first, it's a creative act or the act of creation. But it can also stand for the thing created or the creation itself. 2 Corinthians 5:17 thus means that when someone has decided to dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ, Jesus begins an act of new creation in their life. They aren't merely reformed. They're not rehabilitated. They're not only forgiven. They are recreated. They become a brand new person from within, from the heart out, and they begin a brand new life. Paul explains how this could take place in verses 14 and 15 here in 2 Corinthians 5. Back up to verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Now this is what baptism symbolizes. This is where your old life dies and you're buried under the water just as Jesus was buried in the tomb. And then when you stand up out of the water, just as Jesus stood up out of the grave, you stand up as a new ketesis, a new creature, a new creation. That's why Paul can confidently say the old is gone and the new has come. Praise God. But when we turn back to our Bible story here, we see that Jesus offered just this kind of new life to this hopeless woman. I see her in my mind's eye again approaching that well, and she notices a strange man sitting there on the well, and she hesitates. What's he doing here, especially this time of day? She wants to turn away, but she needs water. So with downcast eyes, not wanting to look at him, she walks a little closer and hoping perhaps he'll just ignore her. But he doesn't. Instead, you know what he does? He asks her for water. Jesus should not have spoken to her. The etiquette of the day forbids it. That was not something to be done. Number one, she was a woman, and a man did not speak to a woman, particularly if her husband and father were not present. And two, she was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. And the Jews and Samaritans felt the same way about each other as maybe the Jews and Palestinians feel today. Three, she was living in open sin. Nobody would speak with her anymore, not even the women in town. Jesus should not have spoken to her at all, according to culture. But he did. And then Jesus offers her the best water. He offers her living water. The living water which quenches a person's thirst and gives eternal life. You know, there's a number of Old Testament texts which refer to God as a fountain of living water in Psalms 36:9 and Jeremiah 17:13. And in making this reference to living water, Jesus is actually telling her, hey, I'm the Messiah. I'm what you're longing for. I'm what you need in your life. But the woman doesn't realize what he's talking about. And then he begins to get a little too personal. He tells her all about her failed marriages. He reminds her of her past, of all her disappointments. Each word, the door to her pain, is forced open a little wider and a little wider. And she begins to realize what he's offering her, a brand new beginning. But the pain is just too much, and she slams the door shut. And in her mind, she steps away from his offer, and she tries to throw up a wall between herself and the Messiah. She changes the topic, tries to lure him away with a popular debate, away from her sin, from the uncomfortableness, from the disappointments, from her pain. She doesn't want to face it. This is all in John chapter 4. It's a story. We're familiar with it. We know it's not easy to confront our failures, is it? Our disappointments or pain in our life. In fact, it's possible for us to get used to living in spiritual poverty, to live without hope. Because to hope again is scary. If we begin to hope again, we can be disappointed again. If we start to try to start all over once again, we might fail once again. But however scary it might be to think of starting over, that's exactly what the Bible is promising. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Those old pains, those old hurts, those old worries pass away. Behold, everything is new. God wants to bring that into our hearts and into our lives. Amen? Each and every day. But then what happens after we're a new creation? 2 Corinthians tells us, after we get that chance for a new beginning, Paul says something interesting here in verses 17, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Starting verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For now we are what? What are we? Ambassadors. Do you know we're all ambassadors? Isn't that interesting? When we make the decision to give ourselves wholeheartedly to Christ, when we go through that full surrender and allow that catechesis to happen in our hearts and our lives, and to let that old go and not resurrect it again, and to walk in newness of faith and strength in Christ, we suddenly are ambassadors. We're not treated like some naughty child who apologizes and is then allowed back in the classroom, but only in the back corner with a dunce hat on, you know. No, we're not separated. We're given a message of reconciliation. Suddenly our lives have a larger purpose than just earning enough to live comfortably. We have a focus and a direction. But back to our Bible study. the story here. Eventually, the woman at the well realizes that, yes, she has met the Messiah. And that he has begun, in that little short conversation, to recreate her. She started to feel a hope and a connection she had never felt before. Outwardly, she looked just the same, right? But inside, there was a spark of life. There was a new creation. There was hope. There was encouragement. And she began to change, and she no longer saw herself as a hopeless outcast with a life full of mistakes. Instead, she realized she had been entrusted now with a message, with the wonderful news that the Messiah is here. God has reconciled himself to us. And it's open to all of us. And this woman who had walked drudgingly to the well, without a friend, without hope, and without future, this same woman runs back to town, back to the people who had ostracized her. But now, she has a new outlook. She has met the Messiah, and she has now become Jesus' ambassador. Turn to John chapter 4, if you would. John chapter 4, starting in verse 28. It says, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, Come, see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." Slide down to verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Friends, when we meet Jesus as our personal Savior, and our lives are filled with a deeper purpose, and we become his ambassadors, we are entrusted with a message of reconciliation. For there's a whole world out there that is smacked in the face with disappointment and scary and troubles, and it's all around. Mass shootings. There's just all kinds of evil that is going rampant and impacting people's lives, and they're starting to lose hope and don't know where to turn. And the challenge is there. And yet Jesus is there freely offering a complete hope and a way through all the troubles of your life. So I could ask the question, where does this message leave us today? But instead I'm going to ask, where does this message find you today? Perhaps things are still going well. Sure, you made some mistakes, you messed up a little, but you're still living with the hope you'll be able to start over. And you know, this Sabbath presents you with a perfect opportunity to refresh your connection with the Savior. Maybe to turn over a new leaf. Maybe there's some habits, some attitudes, some thoughts, whatever it may be that you need to lay aside, and you want to pick up some new ones. Or perhaps things are falling apart in your life. You've tried starting over a bit, you know, over and over, and you come to realize that, you know, it's a futile attempt at making yourself feel better for a little while, but you've lost all hope at a real new beginning. Or perhaps you've met the Messiah and you've gone through ups and downs and you've tried it all. You know what it's like to promise yourself a new start. And you know what it's like to reach a point of hopelessness and feeling like giving up, but now you've met the Messiah. Suddenly you know what it is to start over. And you feel that new creation in your heart. Praise God. Perhaps you become his ambassador. You've been liberated and set free from trust in yourself and the loss of hope. But now you can't help but carry the message. You can't help but carry and let people know that God has made things right between you and him, and he is there to make things right between everyone and himself. And he wants nothing more than for his people to give that message to a world in pain. But friends, it doesn't really matter where you are today, because today is a new day. Paul writes further in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2. He says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. So friends, today's a new day. Jesus is offering you what he offered the woman all those years ago at that well. A new creation. He's offering you living water. Go on. Drink it. Drink it. Let that bring that power and that strength and that spirit into your surrendered life so that you can be filled up with the best water you'll ever have. For from him comes all of new life. I pray that you will have a refreshed life starting today and every day. Recommit yourself to him. Beg him to bring that new life into your walk. And may you become faithful ambassadors of encouragement in a world gone haywire. So may he bless you and strengthen you as we all go forward together. And let's take our cups and sing the closing song asking, fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. For him to be able to fill it, we need to empty it. So empty it out and help others. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, that is indeed our prayer today. As we lift up our cup to you, Father, fill it up with your living water. May it bring refreshment deep into our lives and into our souls that is more than just a surface experience, Lord, but will be deep, indwelling, and abiding, clear through our heart and our life and our souls every day. So that, Lord, we may share and become those ambassadors that you have called us to be. For we have been with the Savior. We have given our hearts to him. And he has worked that katesis work in us. For we are new thanks to his power and his life. May we be ambassadors of that hope. Father, may all honor and glory go to you and your kingdom forever. In Jesus' most holy name, amen.